As far as announcements, Tuesday's Ladies Fellowship, that will be Tuesday, 6 o'clock here. And then, let's see, we've got public ministry Thursday, 10:30 to 11:30-ish, and then Friday, 4 to 6, and then groups going out Sundays from 3 to 5. All this is out in Kennedy. There's a little space out there that's becoming well known for tracks and signs and things like that. And so that's really, really good. And I am really glad. It's a blessing that in a month's time, our church has been able to get the gospel to every single home in and around Beeville. That is incredible. That's incredible. Now on to Skidmore and on to the surrounding areas. we got plans for Skidmore and George West and all the way up to Falls City and Carn City and Kennedy, and just try to cover our area. Do what we can to cover our area. And so that's a blessing. Blessing to be a part of all that. Genesis chapter 14. This is, we did a little study a few weeks ago and dealt with the fact that when Abram and Lot show up together in the Bible, Abram is a type of Jesus Christ, and Lot is a great type of Israel. And so the similarities, we did that study a few weeks ago, I'm not going to rehash the whole thing, but there are so many similarities when these two show up together in the Bible, that Lot is physically related to Abraham. He'll share in the blessings because of Abraham. Lord Jesus Christ even says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Lot is rescued out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's almost exactly like Matthew 24 when Israelites are rescued, and anyway, it's a great, it's really necessary to understand those things, because in this chapter you're going to see seven things about Abram that our picture of Jesus Christ. And it just reminds me when the Lord walked with those disciples and went through Old Testament and said, you know, this is what was written of me in the law and in the prophets and in the Psalms and all that stuff. He's just all through the Bible, and it's all about Jesus Christ. And so this is an interesting chapter. You've got this war between these nations, these kings fight each other. Lot just seems to be in the middle of it because he's connected to Sodom now. And so the king of Sodom gets in this fight and doesn't do so well. And Lot gets sort of captured as a prisoner of war. And so Abram's going to be the savior. He's the guy that's going to save everybody out of everything here. And this will be the first rescue of Lot. Second rescue of Lot is going to come in a couple chapters later when Lot gets hauled out of Sodom and Gomorrah and the Lord burns the whole place down. But this is the first rescue of Lot. And all of Lot's problems come from the fact that he's connected to Sodom and Gomorrah. And so, again, he is a, when these two show up together, and I can't think of really a time in the Bible when Lot shows up and Abraham doesn't show up. But for sure, when they show up together, Abram is a type of Christ, and Lot is a great picture of the nation of Israel. So let's read a couple verses, and we're just going to talk about seeing Jesus Christ in Abram. But you got to get the context of all this. So let's start reading here in Genesis chapter 14, and verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. So you learn a little bit of geography there, that what is now known as the Dead Sea was once a valley where these kings met together. All right, 12 years, verse 4, they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Carnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Immims in Sheva Kiriathaim. In Bob and John and Jim and whatever, we'll just do it that way. And the Horites in their Mount Seir and Elparan, which is by the wilderness. And they returned and came to Emishpat, which is Kadesh. You're getting a lot of geography, saying this was this, this was this, this is this, this is this, this is where this happened, what's now called this, this was this, and this is now called this. And verse 8, and there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the Vale of Siddim. So they are right in the middle of what would be the Dead Sea today. With Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings with five. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountain, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. So that's where you're at. Here is Lot is in trouble because he is connected with Sodom, and his first time he gets in trouble, this is going to be his first rescue. And Abram's going to have to rescue him out of this place, or out of this position as a prisoner of war. And the next time, some angels are going to have to rescue him out of Sodom and Gomorrah when God burns down Sodom and Gomorrah. So this is the first rescue. You'll see the second one a few chapters later. So this is the layout. This is what's happening. You've got a time of war where men are just, they are, it's like when the Lord says in Matthew 24, he says, you hear of wars and rumors of wars, and this is just, it's just a time of war and lust. The Bible says the only reason you have wars is because of lust and men and their pride, and they just got to fight. And so he says that over in James chapter 4. And Lot is in the middle of all this, and his problem ultimately is that he's just connected to the wrong place. And so he got in the wrong place because he saw it. It looked good to him, and so he wanted to have a good, prosperous, whatever life, I guess, at least in the world's, as far as the world's concerned. So he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Pretty soon he's living in Sodom, but he'll find out raising his kids in Sodom isn't really a great thing. But that'll come later. But now he's in trouble. He's a prisoner of war. These kings fight each other. Where he's living gets overtaken by some kings, and he becomes a prisoner of war, and everything he owns gets taken. Now, Abram is outside of all this. He doesn't get taken. He's not involved in the war. He's outside of the whole thing. And so the war doesn't affect Abram. None of this stuff affects him. But what does affect him is the fact that his nephew has been captured as a prisoner of war. And so in verse 13, I'm going to show you, there's seven things here, and I'm not going to dig into the details. I feel like we had a long sermon this morning, so I'm not going to give you something long tonight. So I'm going to show you just seven things about Abram and the fact that he is a type of Christ here and in this chapter. So this is the situation. You get the situation described, verses 1 through 12. And now Abram hears about this. Verse 13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. I don't know what the deal is with 318, but I know when the Bible mentions these specific numbers, there's probably something to it, some prophetic thing, but I don't know. But it's a detail that God chose to put in here. Verse 15, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. So you got the king of Sodom shows up and the king of Salem shows up. They're just totally different kings, though. Melchizedek brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. That's Abram giving Melchizedek tithes of everything he got in battle, in the war. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshel, and Mamre, let them take their portion. So let's pray, and I'll give you seven things about Abram and him being a type of Christ in this first deliverance of Lot. This is the first deliverance of Lot. But let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening really to exalt Jesus Christ and to see Jesus Christ in all these pages of the Bible. You could have included so many other things in your words, but you chose to include the things that pertain to Jesus Christ. Just like you said in Revelation, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I pray that you would help us this evening get out of these verses what we need to get out of them. And thank you for each soul that's here. Those that are watching, I pray you'd bless them as well. Those that are sick, I pray that you would heal up their bodies and help them, give them grace. And thank you again for salvation in Jesus Christ. And thank you for your words. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Seven things, and we'll go through them fairly quickly, I think, just to see what they are in this chapter here. Abram is a type of Christ. Starting in verse 13, number one, Abram loves Lot. Abram loves Lot, though his bad decisions have cost him everything. The only reason Lot is in the position he's in is because he lusted after the city life in Sodom and Gomorrah. He wanted to live that life. There was so much fruitfulness there. Just at least the appearance that there was fruitfulness there. There was lots of money exchanging hands, lots of goods exchanging hands, and so it turns out to be, you know, just a very, as far as the world is concerned, a very prolific and happening place. But as far as God is concerned, it's just it was a depraved place. And so Lot moves there, and not very long after that, here's what happens. And he loses, because he's connected with this place, he loses everything. Not only does he lose everything, he himself is a prisoner of war. He gets captured. But nevertheless, Abram looks at his kin, his flesh and blood kin, looks at Lot, even though Lot's made bad decisions, and those decisions have cost him a lot. Abram decides he is going to rescue Lot. So that's number one. Just like Jesus Christ makes a decision to save sinners, even though sinners have chosen to completely destroy their lives with sin. Jesus Christ made a decision when sin entered the world. He made a decision that he would rescue sinners from their sin. So here's Abram. He loves Lot, even though his bad decisions have cost him. Number two, Abram and his household, notice in verse 14, says, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. The second thing is, Abram and all his household are already, they're already prepared for deliverance. So he gets the men ready and gets some folks ready, this trained militia here, and these folks are already ready to do what needs to be done. And so apparently Abram runs a pretty good household here. He's ready. And so everyone in his household is already prepared for deliverance. And so you'll read in the Bible about Jesus Christ. You'll read about the plans for deliverance from the foundation of the world, all that kind of stuff, even though that deliverance and all those things happen later on in time and history, God and Jesus Christ and all of the Old Testament written and pointing to Jesus Christ, all of this stuff is prepared and set up for deliverance. So Abram just arms his people, gets ready to go out. The third thing is in verse 15. He divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah. All right, you probably remember reading something about Jesus Christ coming as a thief in the night. Okay, so that's Abram divides up the men, three groups, and they show up at night. And when they show up at night, it's a surprise to this, I don't know how many people are in these king's armies, but it's apparently a surprise enough that they don't fight back. They don't have any way to fight. So he shows up at night, just like Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he comes as a thief in the night. So Abram, he comes as a thief in the night. He shows up as a thief in the night. And then Abram's victory is not just a small victory here and there. Notice the fourth thing about this, and we're moving through these really fast. That's okay, right? I hope that's okay. The fourth thing is verse 16. How much did Abram get back? Everything. The Bible says, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So Abram, he goes and fights, and you're not told that Abram even loses anybody in this fight, which he probably doesn't, but you are told that Abram in this fight, he completely restores everything that was lost. So he attacks these kings by night, and when he attacks these kings, he restores the goods, the people, everything. Everything they took, he gets it back. Just like Jesus Christ. Everything the devil, everything sin takes away, Jesus Christ restores. And not only does he restore it, it's going to be life abundant in the future. But I mean, restored completely in Jesus Christ. And then this. So Abram's victory completely restores what was lost in the war. And then this, number five. Abram's victory is celebrated by Melchizedek. He's the priest of the Most High God. You see that in verse 18. And so I think Melchizedek in this whole thing is kind of a picture of God Almighty, God the Father. And you'll notice those elements, the bread and wine and all that stuff, just like in the Lord's Supper, and all that shows up. And then, but you have two kings here. The first one is we'll say Melchizedek is the first one, and he's the priest of the Most High God. And he shows up and he celebrates the victory with Abram. And not only that, Abram, in response to the celebration, Abram responds by taking up a tithe and offering it to Melchizedek, which is something you'll find that Jesus Christ will be doing in the millennium, and he will be making offerings to the high priest and things like that. So anyhow, you get the idea. Abram makes an offering to the Most High God. He makes an offering in verse 20. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Abram giving him tithes of everything. But this is something we're gonna expand on this in the next week or so. But I'm just going to put this out there. It's the seventh thing. So we're almost done here. This is so fast. We've gone through this so fast. But I want you to notice how Abraham responds to King Melchizedek versus how he responds to the king of Sodom. You got two kings here that show up after this. Two kings. One of these kings represents or could represent the devil. One of these kings represents God the Father. And when Melchizedek shows up, he celebrates the victory, and it's a good thing when Melchizedek shows up and he blesses Abram. But what does the king of Sodom do? He's not the same as Melchizedek. Here's what the king of Sodom says, verse 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. That is just like a deal the devil would make. Let me have the souls and I'll let you have the stuff. You take the stuff. You gain the world. Just let me have the soul. That's Sodom. That's the king of Sodom. Just let me have the people and you can have all the stuff. We'll make you rich with stuff. I will let you have all of these things that were ours to begin with. I'll let you have all of these things. But Abram's response is just like Jesus Christ. He responds to Melchizedek one way. He gives tithes of all that he's won in war. He offers to bless God with these tithes through Melchizedek. But the king of Sodom, he doesn't give him anything. In fact, he tells the king of Sodom, you can keep all your goods. I don't want anything from you. I'm not interested in your stuff. I'm not interested in anything you have. Look what Abram says. Abram said in verse 22, Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich. In this chapter, and like I said, we'll deal with it a little bit more in a couple weeks or next week maybe. As Abram typifies Jesus Christ, these two kings represent, one of them represents God the Father, and one of them represents the devil. And the deal the king of Sodom wants to make is exactly the deal the devil would want to make. I will give you stuff. I will let you have stuff. Just let me have the souls. Just let me have the people. If I can just get the people addicted to the stuff, if I can just have the people, if I can just have the souls, I'll give you anything you want. I'll make you rich. I will give you treasures beyond your wildest imagination. You remember when Jesus Christ is tempted in the wilderness there, And the devil takes him up to the high place there, and he shows him all the kingdoms in a moment of time, and he says, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you just bow down and worship me. I mean, I picture it like a commercial or something, you know. They got all the everybody's, you know, maybe a beer commercial or something. Everybody's happy and partying, and it's just like a great time and drinking. And, oh, man, yeah, living the high life, man. It's great. And it's just like a commercial the devil just shows to Jesus Christ. He says, you see all this? Look at all the fun they're having. Look at all this fun. Look at all this enjoyment they're getting out of this. Look at all these people cheering at this game. Look at all, I mean, they're so happy. I'll give you all of this. I'll give you all of this if you just bow down to me. And Jesus Christ says, only worship the Lord God. He's the only one to worship. However, it says it, I know I butchered it, but he says, only worship, you know, there's one God, only worship him, all that kind of thing. The point is, when he's offered all this stuff, that's the offer the devil makes. That's the king of Sodom. He says, I'll give you all this stuff. Just give me the people. And Abram says, no, I'm not interested in your stuff, and you're not taking any of the people. I'm not going to take any of your stuff, because if I take anything, what you'll say is you made Abram rich, and you didn't make Abram rich. God did that. And so Abram rejects, here's the last point, Abram rejects the king of Sodom's offer just like Jesus Christ rejects the devil's offer. He's tempted, but without sin, fully rejecting the devil's offer to gain the whole world. And like he says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So, seven things. Abram loves Lot, number one, though his bad decisions have cost him. Number two, Abram and his household are already prepared for deliverance. And so they go to work on deliverance. Number three, Abram, just like Jesus Christ, comes as a thief in the night. Number four, Abram, just like Jesus Christ, his victory is complete. The restoration of everything. He restores everything in this war. Number four or five, Abraham's victory is celebrated by Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, like Jesus Christ's victory celebrated by God the Father and really all of heaven. Number four, five, six, wherever we're at here. Yeah, number 45, I don't know. Abram makes an offering to the Most High God, just like Jesus Christ will make an offering to his Father. Not my will, but thine be done. And then, lastly, Abram, just like Jesus Christ, rejects the king of Sodom's offer. And so, you got 7 points in here. Like I said, keep that in mind when you read these chapters. God puts these things in the Bible to highlight aspects of Jesus Christ's life and ministry. And so, in this chapter, you've got 7 things where Abram is like Jesus Christ. And really, anytime Abram and Lot show up in the Bible together, again, Abram is a great type of Christ, and Lot is a great type of the nation of Israel over and over here. So this is Lot's first deliverance, and here's all the ways that Abram is a type of Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. And y'all can be happy to leave early tonight. Father, I pray it's been helpful just seeing Jesus Christ in the text here. Undoubtedly, it's why you put these accounts in the Bible, so we can see Jesus Christ. I pray you'd help us this week. You would guide and direct us. I thank you for providing for us the way you do. I pray that the Gospels that have gone out would get into the hands of people that will read them and believe them. And I pray we continue to get that work done, get the Gospel into the hands of all of these surrounding little towns. Thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ, and thank you for your words. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.